Welcome to the Highway Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you today.
Last week was Easter. And I pray that we just don't forget Easter. But the victory that God won for us on the cross is continually with us every day of the year. And I've titled my message this morning, Pass the Baton. What would it have been like if you were one of the disciples? You'd been through this journey of watching your rabbi, the man that you followed, the man that you slept in the same house with, the man who was your teacher. All these prophetic words he was speaking about how he's going to set people free and restore Israel. And yet he dies on the cross, all hope's gone. Left devastated. You go through this journey and then you Sunday morning, you wake up and you find that he's risen from the dead. And then he comes and he walks with you for 40 days, telling you that he is the Son of God and explaining to you what's happening. And then he says, I'm going. He says, I'm going and I'm leaving it all up to you. I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit to help you, but I'm leaving it all up to you. How would you have felt? Pressure. It's up to you and me. No pressure, everybody, by the way. It's up to you and me to share the gospel. It's up to you and me to bring the kingdom of God to earth. Jesus is there for us. He's helping us. Sure enough, he's interceding for us. But in that moment, they watch him ascend to heaven, awesome, and then they're all left alone. This is up to us now. What's next? He's told us to wait. He's told us to wait for this thing called the Holy Spirit that's going to empower us, but hey, the weight's on our shoulders. We've got to save the world. Yeah. What would happen if there was, I don't know, there's probably the same amount of people here that might have been there. If he appeared on here and he says, okay, everybody, I'm disappearing, it's up to you to save the whole world. What would you think? Pretty trusting of our Savior, wasn't it? Yeah. To leave it up to these men. Yeah. And I'm saying pass the baton because he entrusts this mission of the gospel to his disciples. Yeah. And it goes through the generation after generation after generation after generation where each generation gets to choose and pass the baton for the next generation. Yeah. And I'm looking at our world at the moment, and I'm looking about the changes that are going on, and I'm thinking, what are we going to leave for the next generation? You know, this baton that he's given us, and I was going to get everybody to hand it around, but there's probably a few gaps. It's probably not going to work. Yeah, maybe we will. Well, while I'm speaking, and I hope this won't deflect from you, but can you just hold this baton for a while? And then maybe pass it on to the next person as I'm speaking, and we'll just run down the aisles and see how that goes. But God has passed on a baton of responsibility to all of us. He has empowered us. What would happen if Jesus was actually giving you that baton now? Giving you something. What would you do with that baton? I can tell you what, I'll be on my knees, I'll be worshiping him, I'll be praising him, I'll be in my prayer closet. I'll be pressing into God, saying, God, I need your help on this. I just need your help. I can remember when I was a young apprentice. I finished my apprenticeship. And I worked in a steel mill, built a steel mill for 3 years, and then went and got into manufacturing. And I went to my first true manufacturing job. Back then, there was no automatic automation. You know, we didn't have phones. We didn't really have proper computers when I was first coming up in my apprenticeship. But by the time I got there, the automation had hit the manufacturing industry, and I got given this job. And I was still a really young fella, and all the old electricians and the old engineers didn't know anything about it. And so they decided that I was going to do the first line in the factory and automate it. Never done it before. And big responsibility. They didn't know what they were doing. No one knew what they were doing. And they sent me on a 2 or 3 day course, and then they said, it's all yours, go for it. And I can remember sitting back, and I'm quite lucky because weight doesn't seem to rest on me too much. But I can remember thinking as I was doing it, if I fail, there's probably like 5 or 6 lines in this factory. If I fail, that's 1/6 the factory is gone. And to do this, you had to strip the whole thing and rebuild it. So there's no going back. And the weight of that. Well, as you're passing this, you know, Jesus entrusted us. Can you imagine? There is no going back. For me. Can we draw a line in the sand? There is no going back. I'm not going to go back to my old life. I'm not going to go back to my old thought patterns. Why would I go there? Why would I even contemplate that? Can we just make a decision? And I know we're going to fail, but can we make a decision? I'm going forward. I'm going forward from this moment. I'm not going to step back. I want to go forward with you. Whatever baton it is you're giving me, I'm going to take that baton. Maybe it's just a baton to bring up 2 or 3 kids in your household to know Jesus. Maybe it's a baton just to look after your husband, whatever it is. But whatever baton God has given to you, are you going to run with it really well? Maybe it's a baton to take on a ministry. Maybe it's by faith you need to stretch yourself. And I think I'm speaking to some people here this morning. God's given you some words in your life. And I think some of you have tried 2 or 3 times and you've laid that baton down. Well, maybe it's time to pick it up again. Maybe it's time not to just live in that baton. Paul writes to the people of Colossae in Colossians 1. So I'm just looking at the time. I'm thinking I'm blowing that much time already. Colossians 1, chapter 10 and 12, chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. And he says to the people of Colossae, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. He was writing to the people of Colossae, encouraging them, encouraging to live a life worthy of God, but also encouraging them that they have been strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Do you believe that today? He has strengthened you and given you all power according to his glorious might. We step into that. If we don't believe it, it's not going to happen, people. Can we step out by faith and just believe it? That God has given me everything I need? So my first point is God's kingdom reestablished. If God's kingdom's to be re-established, the may we live is in verse 10 of that verse to Colossians, of Colossae. May we live a life worthy. You know, that the Israelites had been in subjection for 6 centuries, 600 years, waiting for the Messiah. And Jesus turns up and they all think, this is our time, this is our moment where we're going to be saved, we're going to be set free. And they watch the whole story in Act and they believe that Jesus is going to come and he's going to set them free from being slaves to the Romans. And here he is, he didn't quite do that. He set them free from their sin, he empowered them to move in power and authority, and he gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit, but it didn't meet what they thought. In John 18:36, he says, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. Can we believe that even though we're working on this world, there is a supernatural authority that Jesus has won for us? And the kingdom is not of this world, but it is in the heavenly realm. That is a greater kingdom than the kingdom that's down here. And that is where his rulership comes from. Rules over the earth from an authority that's in heaven. And are we going to allow that to intersect our lives as we pick up that baton, as we run to believe that Jesus in heaven has already won all over spiritual powers and authority, and it is our, and he's given us the gift and that authority to run in for our own lives? After his resurrection, I don't know if they really got it. In Acts 1:6 it says, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still waiting for this earthly kingdom to happen, but they didn't realize that the heavenly kingdom was inside of them. Just as it's inside of you and me. Are you going to open the doors of your life and let that kingdom out? Are you going to let it out to touch others? Let it out to change the culture? Oh, the culture changes that are going on in our world at the moment. Are we the ones that are going to stand up against that culture change? Then we pass the baton to the next generation. They're not going to have to deal with the things that we didn't deal with. Are we going to pass the baton to the next generation for a revival in the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Are we going to pass on that baton for revival in His Word and faith? You know, do we really believe that Jesus was a spotless Son of God that died on the cross for our sins and that He rose again? That Satan was completely humiliated by what Jesus did? The victory has been won. Death has been defeated, and Jesus leads the way in our resurrection. You know, just as Jesus was on the earth, miracles happened. Forgiveness was given. New life was available for those who believed. The church is born. Its mission is to worship, to nurture, to build people into fellowship. The partnership with us is, are we going to run with the baton that He's given us? Oh, Easter is gone, everybody. Jesus has died. He's already won the victory. What baton are we going to carry into this world with us as we go? See, in Acts 1:8 it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." See, we're to carry His kingdom as envoys, apostles, changing culture, wherever we go. God's plan. This upside down kingdom that He spoke about, where the poor and the needy are blessed, where the sick are blessed. It's an upside down kingdom. May we not look about how much money is in our bank account or what car we drive. Oh, can we realize the riches we have in heaven and run with that with our baton. So stay in the kingdom. If we're baton runners, can we run in our lane? Can we get ready, prepare ourselves as we're running in our lane for that baton to pass it on to the next generation? There's no baton drop, but the next generation takes it. See, Paul said to the church at Colossae in verse 10, to please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Run our race and pass the baton. My second thought is the signs. When people meet us, do they know there's something different about us? Are you a bit different? Are you a bit weird on the world scale? Can they tell there's something different about you? You know, do you crack a smile when you meet people? Can people tell that you're just happy? There's something, a joy welling up within you? That if God is full in me, then it should be running out of us day by day. You are qualified. You know, when we run with the race of the baton, there's some hurdles. And can you get that video ready for us? When you run with some hurdles, may we never drop the baton, even in our hurdles. I just want to watch this little clip. That's not us, is it? We wouldn't drop the baton like that, would we? Do you love it that he thought he had it, it's just hanging on by the end, and he starts running and then he drops it again? Can you imagine what the next runner on the relay thought when he saw that happen? And the baton was dropped. He never got a chance to run that race. He never got a chance to run that race. And I'm not saying this to be heavy, I'm saying this to be excited. God has given it to us, everybody. You know, we should be running this race with expectancy, believing, you know. And can I tell you, we don't run the race to come first. We run the race to finish. Doesn't matter how fast you run. Doesn't matter what goes on in your world. It's running with your baton and running your race and getting ready to pass it to the next person. And then the next person and the next person. You know that baton change? When you do something wrong, what's our first thought? Is it to repent? Lord, I'm sorry. And that is to know that he's forgiven you and set you free. You know, through all our trials and tribulations, in Romans 8:37 to 39, it says, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through whom he loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why we worship. In verse 11, it says to give joyful thanks to our God. You know, every kingdom has a king, and every king has a throne. Jesus was called the Son of David. And I want to just talk about this thought about worship just for a few minutes. You know, David was a worshiper. So I don't know what Jesus' worship times were like, but he was called the Son of David. So I'd imagine he probably worshipped. I know he prayed and I know he read the word, but I'd imagine he worshipped. And there's a thought, you know, that the Ark of the Covenant wasn't back in Jerusalem. And David decided he wanted to get the Ark, which was a place of worship, back to Jerusalem. So he goes out and he finds out exactly how to carry the Ark properly, and he brings it back, worshipping all the way back in Jerusalem. And he sets the Ark in a tent. And when he set the Ark in the tent, it says in the word that Saul actually disbanded the priests and that from the tabernacle. He actually disbanded worship in Israel. So David goes out, and the priests and were in the fields making a living, and he calls them back in at this time. And he sets in place where I'm gonna have worship in Jerusalem from morning till night. And he sets up the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem in this tent. And the worship never stopped for 33 years. 33 years. Well, some scholars say the Ark of the Tent actually never had sides on it. So it was open for everybody. Open so everybody could come and worship. All of them could see the Ark. All of them could see the representation of God's glory. And as Jesus being like the lineage of the Son of David, I wonder if he set up an earthly a temple like that for us, where there is no sides of the tent anymore. When we come to worship, we can actually worship him face to face. By faith, we can step in. We don't have to hold back. It's not hidden and later on, Solomon built the temple, which was ostentatious. It was fantastic. But it was hidden. May we believe that we're following in Jesus' footsteps as sons of David, boldly coming before the throne of grace, fully in front of us, that we can worship him with nothing, behold him face to face. That's how he wants us to worship. And not just here on Sunday morning. During the week when you get up on the morning, can you imagine? I'm getting up for 33 years, the worship did not stop. Wow. While I'm here on the earth, can I pass that baton on? That I'm a son of David? Yeah. That I'm going to worship and I'm going to believe just like there was nothing in front of that tent. I'm going to worship him and I'm going to see him face to face. And he's going to have an answer for me. You know, a lot of us have these mindsets which need to be broken down. God does not want a gap between us. He wants us to worship him face to face. He wants us to see his glory. He wants us to walk in his glory. Maybe no more than what we expected. Lord God, I pray that 33 years that David had, may we be the ones, Lord, to start some worship up that's not ever going to stop until you come back again. Because you know, when Jesus left this earth, he said he was coming back in the same way he left. Oh, maybe it's in our time, I don't know. It'd be great if it was. But when he comes back, I want to be worshiping him. I want to be serving him. So the address is my third point. The address In verse 12, he says, he has qualified you. My physical dress is Wongawalan. I live in Wongawalan. But that's not my real address. My real address is the Son of God. My real address is to live in front of that ark, to worship him with my body, my soul, my spirit. And believing when I do that, he will set us apart. He has empowered us by the Holy Spirit, this gift that he has given us, that we can worship him, that we can come boldly before his throne of grace. I don't know what's going on in all of your lives. I don't know what needs to be fixed. But I can encourage you all, when things are going wrong, what do? We worship. We worship. We honor our God. We live as Paul said this morning. We don't hold back. We believe by faith and we step in. You know, at Easter time, we had the grandkids over and they had an Easter egg hunt. And they didn't have too many eggs, but they had enough. They had baskets full of eggs. We've got a back paddock and we put eggs throughout the back paddock and they ran around the back paddock through the trees and in the creek and trying to find eggs. And they're always trying to find more eggs, and there was an expectation of more, an expectation that I'm going to find something else. And they were running around like crazy things trying to find these eggs. I pray that we're like that too. We're just running around, just always looking for this chocolate, which is from God by faith. Oh, under this tree, oh, there's something else new from God that I'm going to grab. You know, I'm running to the next tree. Oh, there's something else new that I can grab. I'm not waiting more. I'm just going to keep running and running and running. I want to be like those kids, always expectant that there's some chocolate for me that God's got for me. To all the women in the house, there's chocolate. The men of the house, what do we want? Steak. Yeah. You want steak? You can have some steak. So our baton change. What should our baton change look like? Can we get the other little video clip back together, Brad? Thank you. This should be our baton change. And you can look at the expression on these people's faces as they do the baton. Your muscles like that woman's muscles? I'm talking about faith muscles, everybody. Faith muscles. Can you run like that in the spirit? Are you running? You know, if I was back in the 70s now, I'd probably get everyone up and we'd run around the church. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. But your faith muscles strong. I can tell you what, you can have faith muscles that are strong one day after salvation. Because God's never going to push you past the point that you can handle. But are your faith muscles always growing? Are you like the Hulk? Are you like the Hulk in God's kingdom? Are you like Superman? Superwoman? The Flash? Is that who you are in God's kingdom? I'm running into God. Oh, if we could only see, everybody. Oh, if we could only see what God has for us. Oh, and if we could only see how we're holding back. Lord, may we run with this baton. Never let go of this baton. There was a group of men who, when they were with Jesus, they hit a storm, cowered in their boat, thinking they were going to die. And yet the Holy Spirit comes upon them. The very same men willingly went to the cross, died a death for their Savior. The very same men left their homes and their houses and went. I don't know what that looks like to you, but my challenge after Easter, when I've celebrated his death and resurrection, I've celebrated all that Jesus has done for me, then how can I walk that out well? Can I encourage us all today? And I don't know where you're all at. In a room like this, some of us are just powering for God. Some of us are struggling with life. This is just the room we're in. But can I encourage you all? God has given you a baton. God has given you all personally a baton. God sees you all individually. He knows you individually. And he's on your case. He is not going to let you down. He's not going to push you to the point where you're going to fail in your faith. Some of you have taken steps backwards in the last season. Some of you are pressed in. But can I encourage you? God wants to pour out his spirit in this place. God wants to move in this house. God wants to move in your lives. God is faithful for you. God is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. And can you imagine that as you take that baton, and can you imagine that you're running your race? God is not just in the stands cheering you on. He's actually running beside you. He's actually running beside you and he's keeping you. And he's given us all something. Can you imagine that on this baton, there's the times, the seasons. He knows the future and he knows the past. And there is words written in this baton for others in your world. There's words written in this baton for the future of this church, for your family, for your workplace, for Australia. And as you run with the baton, those words that he's written down are there. Are you going to pass them on to someone else? Faithfully passing them on. He doesn't care if you're just crawling. He's still encouraging you. You might be running like the Flash and he's encouraging you, but he's just going to encourage you, never putting you down for what you're doing. Always encouraging you. So my charge for us today, in the light of Easter, run with your baton, whatever that looks like. Run with your baton. You know, we are more than conquerors through Jesus who loves us. As this baton goes forward, his kingdom is released. The poor and the captives are set free, and the presence of God's kingdom is released upon us. Oh Lord, in this moment, God, Lord, I pray for fresh dreams. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us who know you, Lord God, that God, in this moment, Lord God, we give you permission to open up our ears and our eyes to see you clearly, Lord, and to hear you better, Lord, that we might run with this baton, Lord God. Oh, taking over the areas that we need to take over, Lord, I pray. Lord, I ask that as we run, the things that are holding us, Lord, would be left behind. They would fall off. And Lord, we would find ourselves free as we run forward for you, Lord, I pray. God, will you, I know you've already empowered us, but Lord, I ask in this moment, you release destiny upon us. Release your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord. God, Lord, I pray, for freshness of your Holy Spirit, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Now, I don't know while our eyes are closed, is there anybody here who doesn't know Jesus? I'd love to introduce you to this person, the Son of God, that you might learn about him, to learn how to live life well with him. Is there anybody here that would like to know more about him, would like to, we call it giving your life. We find it just, I want to pursue you, Lord God. I want to know who you are. Is anybody would like to know the Savior that we know? If you do, can you just lift your hand and we'll see you afterwards? Anybody here at all? Awesome. 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 Is the team here? I know the worship team are hiding out the back. If they come back on the stage, it'd be great. And we're just going to sing that last song one more time, and then we're going to move on with our service. I don't know what you're like, but I don't want to leave the same. If you'd like prayer for any area, we would love to pray for you, that the baton that you carry, you'd be able to run well. If not, as we worship him in this moment, I'm not leaving the same. Lord, will you empower me to take up the baton you've given me, to run, to run, to run. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hoped you loved that message. If you want any more information about us, head to highway.com.au.